UVA dominates UMES, squeaking one out in the big challenge. Look who's at number three and the fresh question of the week. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show, sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. I am your host, Mark Jerome, and we are also joined by the man who the show's named after, Coach Jason Williford, the associate head coach of the number three ranked University of Virginia Hoos.
What's up? What's up?
Good week.
It's a good week. Long travel back. Late night, but good week.
Got in at 3:30 in the morning last night, or in the middle of the night, this morning, I should say.
Yep.
And had to only got 3 hours of sleep.
I had to take the boys to school. Had to go do a little therapy. I've got, there he is.
What's up?
There he is.
He's so excited. He knows he's not supposed to be on yet.
He knows. Had to do a little shoulder therapy. I don't know what's going on with my shoulder. So I had to go see a guy this morning. No sleep, got a haircut. Hadn't been able to go back to bed. I'll sleep good at some point after these games tonight.
Cut looks good.
Thank you.
But the boys,
I should have got this before I left.
Kwame to see the cut yet?
Huh?
Kwame to see the cut yet?
No, she took off. So that's why I had to take the boys to school first thing this morning. She took off to DC for work. And I had daddy duty. So life of a coach and a dad.
You know, I'm not sure you're going to get a lot of sympathy being in a position that so many people would trade for.
No, but not many people are up all day waiting for a 9:30 game and then get home at 3:30, quarter to four, and then have to be up in 3 hours. I shouldn't complain. I love what I do.
Yes. Yes, you do. A lot of people would love to do what they do. And I'm happy. We're all happy for you. And you deserve it.
Thank you.
We're proud of you and proud of this team. Wow. Wow. So what? Let's look at UMES real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. Not a lot of time to spend on it. And not really necessary. The one, you know, it was like a slow beating, right? Like you just guys took your time and methodically put them to rest. Out of that, were there any concerns with the bench? They looked like they were just a little bit off.
Yeah.
Dunn and IMAC, as I just learned was his nickname, by the way.
I thought we got off to a good start. We threw the ball inside, kind of took advantage of our size and posted up Gardner and Cade and scored. And we were able to get kind of what we wanted. We were playing good D. And then we made some substitutions. And look, it wasn't just the two young guys. I did think the bench in particular, you know, you go down the line, responded the way we needed them to respond. And we talked about that. We talked about that after the game. And there was a little bit of lack of intensity, urgency defensively. They kind of got some easy stuff. And I still think that's where we're working, Mark. We're still a work in progress on that end. And I thought that then carried over to the start of the Michigan game. You let them get off to a big, 11 points at the half. It was still kind of back and forth. We had a couple breakdowns. We gave that turnover up right before the half.
We're going to get to Michigan in a minute, Coach.
Eastern Shore, we need those guys to not have such a drop off. And we talked about that collectively. We got after them a little bit. We practiced a little harder. But I thought it was good for Gardner to see, in particular, to see the ball go in. It kind of got him going again, because I know he was a little frustrated coming out of Vegas with, you know, not not being able to finish some plays offensively. And, you know, but that last game in Vegas, we went that small lineup I was telling you before. So, you know, he just needed to see the ball go in. He saw the ball go in against Eastern Shore.
26 points.
Yep.
Good defensive game again. Yep. And we talked about this on the last show, I think. The luxury of having four bigs.
Right.
Which is great. And you talked about Gardner carrying over and playing really well.
Right.
Defensively, didn't rebound, only had 3 points. But I want to go back to defense. Maryland Shore shot, I think, 3 for 18 from three. Yeah. Now, was that because they just didn't have an off-night shooting, or was that because – are you concerned that they had open shots and just missed?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. And I can't exactly – I mean, as much as I want to say I remember every possession of every game, I just don't. I thought they did get good looks at times. They missed a few. You know, we just got to be able to run guys off the line, contest shots, make it difficult. And I thought for most of this year so far, we've done a decent job, but I still think teams are getting good looks. I think they're getting looks either out of a double when they skip it and they, you know, we're post-trapping and they skip it to the next guy, or we just give up a paint touch to a spray and guys are getting quality looks. I think we gotta
do better. Can you explain what that means, Coach?
Say again?
Can you explain what that means, paint touch?
Yeah. So just not being able to keep the ball in front, a guard or big breaks us down, touches the paint, and kicks out. We have to collapse. Everybody's now focused on the ball, and they're kicking it out to guys that are space. That's what the game has become. I mean, let's call it for what it is. You know, we'll play teams that will play five out now. And so, you know, not traditional bigs. They want to space it. Everybody can drive it. Everybody can shoot it. That's what Eastern Shore was a little bit when, you know, in that game. And so I thought we gave some good looks up, but I think we're still working. You know, I'd like to see us be better on that side of the ball.
So prior, and I'm going to go back to the bench, prior to about 6 minutes left to go in the second half, I like you, I can't remember every possession, and I don't coach the team either. And I know you watch film a lot and you're into it. So I may be off a little bit, but 5 or 6, maybe 7 minutes left to go in the second half. The bench was not providing a lot of points, right? Was that a concern at all? If you had to come out of that game, was it too many open looks and the bench needs to step up a little bit more? I mean, IMAC hit a couple of threes late.
I thought it just was an off night for that group, collectively, both sides of the ball. But you touched on it. The silver lining was him being aggressive late and knocking down a couple of those threes. I just think he's still trying to find his groove. He's trying to find where he can fit in. But we need him to be assertive and aggressive. And I thought that was promising that he looked and took those shots. He's got to continue to do that.
And it's still great for those guys to get those minutes.
Oh, 100%.
And just learn.
100%. I mean, dealing with the person. So you're on the floor, you get minutes. You know, I know you don't talk about the game after, but then you go on the road, you play in an environment like a true road game. Now your first real road game in an environment like that. All of those minutes are valuable, and it'll serve them well down the stretch.
Let's talk about defense on IMAC and Ryan Dunn briefly. Now, I've watched McNeely, who's clearly going to be a really, really good player. And as a lot of first years, he's getting beat a little bit on the defensive side of the ball, which is expected, right? I mean, I know that there are two guards who were in their first years who got beat off the dribble sometimes too, right? And I would pull my hair out.
That comes with, you know, just experience and reps. You got to get game reps and understanding hey, these dudes are as quicker than me, and you know, I've got to be ready and in the stands. And we always say continuous. You got to be continuous, and you just got to go through it. There's nothing that prepares you. No practice, no drill. You just got to go through it. And they're going, they're living it and going through it, but it'll serve them well in due time. We just got to stay patient.
It's tough to be able to change directions and guard somebody who's super quick at this level. And your first taste of it, and be able to move your feet side to side, drop step, open up, and keep a guy in front of you all the time. Everybody's going to get beat sometimes.
No question. And you got to do that on that side of the ball. And then on the other end, you got to take care of the ball and not turn it over. So your head is spinning and you're thinking instead of being instinctual, right? So, you know, the game has to slow down for them. And right now it's super sped up, but it'll slow down.
Ryan Dunn, who moves his feet exceptionally well. It's amazing watch his feet.
Yep.
Right? He's opening up and keeping guys in front of him. I saw him get beat twice. Now, one time it looked like against, I think it was Maryland's ashore, off a little bit of a help, and he was like slower getting back to his man, and the guy drove left, and he was couldn't get past his hip. And I can't remember if somebody came to help or if the offensive player drew the foul on Dunn. I can't remember. But
I don't care. You can have quick feet and length and wingspan until you go through it and figure out, all right, I got to chop short. I got to close short. I can't overrun my clothes out. Like all of those things, you're just learning on the fly. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they don't get a whole lot of reps. So they don't get a chance to play through a whole lot of mistakes. So, you know, for them, they got to be ready when their number's called, and try as best they can to not get beat, and then take care of the ball.
So what's the message to them after the game?
Keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep working. It's a process. You'll get it. You're here for a reason. We believe in you. All of those things.
And then is it also, hey, these two, they were former guys who couldn't get it their first couple of games, and they improved on it.
Oh, and they got to go through it, Mark. They just got to go through it.
No question. Yeah. The other bench players, you had Big Poppy, Tane. How are they doing? Where do you guys see them, and where do you guys project them? I mean, is it a game-by-game thing, or are you guys sort of laying out what role people have now?
We'll need them all. We keep telling them to all be ready. The beauty of this year is there's depth. There's a lot of versatility within the roster. You can play all kind of combinations. We've seen that already this year in the few games we've already played. And so they all got to be ready. I mean, we'll need Poppy's physicality and size, and we'll need Tane's toughness, and you know, you'll need them all. So, yep. You know, we just try to tell them as best we can to stay positive and keep your head up and be ready when your number's called. But just keep working. They're gonna work. We know they're gonna work. And they're good kids, but they gotta be ready when their number's called.
If someone's listening to the show and doesn't know UVA has a 6-0 record, right? They'd be like, well, wait a minute, isn't this team pretty good? Like, what's going on? Like, why is he talking? Guys are good and they can play.
Right. No, I love our depth. I love the kids we got. We got really good kids. And, you know, the toughest thing for coaches is trying to play them all, right? To get minutes for everybody. Especially when you got this quality of depth, and there'll be some games where you can play, you know, 8, 9, 10. There'll be some games where it might be 7 or 8, and you know, the rotation is just a little shorter. So it's just the nature of the business.
Yeah. Well, great game against UMES. Maryland's ashore. preparing for Michigan, what was the game plan going into the game?
Man, it was, you know, and if you first looked at it, you saw their numbers shooting the ball. Outside of Jet, Juwan's kid, they weren't shooting it great from three. So, you know, the focus was try to contain Hunter as best you can, and keep him out of transition and off the glass. But you knew at some point those shooters were going to start, they were going to come back to the norm. Like, they, you know, the kid Llewellyn at Princeton was almost 40% three-point shooter. Well, prior to our game, he was shooting in the teens.
13%.
Yeah.
I mean, that you fresh pointed out.
The kid Bufkin was in the teens, but, you know, solid player. So, lo and behold, they make shots, wouldn't you know it, in the first half against us. But the game plan was try to limit Hunter and either double him on the catch, double him on the dribble, sometimes play him one-on-one, you know, and kind of just crowd him, but not go all the way. And man, he was good. He gave us all we could handle. And they made shots. I mean, it was 7 of 12
at half.
7 of 13 at the half or something like that.
7 of 12, I believe, but you might be right.
Yeah.
Right. They made a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
And Llewellyn hit a tough one off the dribble, which is like, wait a minute, this is not a 13% three-point shooter, right?
But it was we knew going to their place, we're a target now. We got that bullseye on us, right? We're going to get everybody's best shot. And we knew that. The crowd was, the students were there. They were amped up. It was a fun environment. Big time game.
Outside of the turnover at halftime, Reese put on a first half show.
Well, we already know our guy's going to be in heaven. We may not get him to stop smiling. So he'll be like, I told you so. He was really, really freaking good, Mark, the first half. And I don't think we took him off the floor. I think he played all 20 minutes in the first half.
Yeah, I think he ended up playing 38 plus minutes, right? But yeah. Off the pick and roll,
yeah,
it's just so good right now.
Well, and the way Hunter played the drop coverage, if we got him high enough off the floor where he dropped and he wasn't right around the rim, Kihei and Reese were able to, as long as we got a piece of their guy, they could go by and manipulate him and either finish or, again, touch the paint to kick out. And I thought both of them did a good job of that. But Reese was banging shots. He got, that dunk was big time. I mean, he went, and that's where people don't, like, that dude's a really good athlete. He's a sneaky good athlete. Long arm, gets off the floor, got better bounce than you think. That was a big time finish.
Let's stay on Reese for a second. I think he had 15 in the first half and 3 in the second, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And had a look like he hurt his ankle. How's his ankle right now?
I think okay. Quite honestly, I did not go in. I didn't go in today. I was running around doing daddy duty, and we had the day off, so the guys had class, but no practice. And I was watching JMU. I got that scout, so I've been watching some film, and I worked from home and tried to do some stuff around the house. I've got to do Christmas lights is what I've been told, so I got to get that stuff up.
Well, you got 2 tall kids to help you out.
Yeah, good luck getting them dudes to help me do anything.
Bribing them with Christmas presents. Well, we hope Reese's ankle is okay.
I think it's fine. I know he was getting some treatment. I called and checked on him. Caden sent me a text, said he was okay. I think his lip's busted, but I think he's fine. But you know, Reese, I know he's getting treatment, so he's in good hands. Ethan to take good care of him.
Ethan's phenomenal. We all know that. And Dougie's going to probably mention Ethan again. He's also another big fan.
Ethan was the man getting them ready to go.
Jaden Gardner, again, another good game. Hits the big shot, the big go-ahead shot. Carries over from UMES. And after Maryland State Shore, people are like, it's not that formidable an opponent. Right? But it's still a game. And sometimes that level of confidence can carry over.
Well, it's never an issue of confidence with him. That dude's confident. That dude scored over 2,000 points. He ain't afraid of the moment. He'll take shots, wants the ball. He had missed a floater right before, a couple possessions before that, where he got probably the exact same look. Then I think another possession down the stretch where he shot fake, drove it on Hunter. They didn't call the foul. I thought he maybe got pushed, but he missed the finish there. But the confidence to now take that next one late, that last possession like that. Now that kid's he's built for it. He wants the ball, and that's kind of in his wheelhouse, to be honest. That 15, 17 foot range, operating from within that range on the floor. That drop coverage that they play with him allow him to have that short roll and that. I mean, it's a pretty good look. I mean, it was pretty much uncontested.
Kihei has a big second half yesterday as well, picking up where Reese made with the injury or whatever it was. Wasn't as effective, but defensively he was still great. And then Kihei picks up and does a really nice job in the second half. On the LRA halftime show, we talked about 45 points gave up in the first half. That's a lot of points for UVA. What was the halftime message?
Simply, if you, and I don't have the stats in front of me, help me, Mark, but we shot something like 50% from the field ourselves in the first half. They shot 62. We shot maybe 40 from three for the game. Like, offense wasn't the issue. Our problem in the first half, we couldn't get stops. And that was the message. Play better defense. Be there on the catch with Hunter. Don't forget that all off the dribble mess. When he catches it, he's got two bodies around him. And I thought we did a much better job of that in the second half. And we would hand the ball. We contested a little more on some of our closeouts. And they missed some shots. They luckily came back down to earth. There was no way they were going to keep shooting that way. And it just became, it was a battle, man, down the stretch. That second half was back and forth. We cut it to four early in the second half. Like, I want to say before the first media, we got it back to within four. So we were right there, and we were back in the game, and we grinded it out. And that is the Virginia basketball that I like. That kind of defense.
This is the identity of this team, seems to be just tough defenders, but also confident players. And the offense just looks a lot more fluid than I've seen in a couple of years.
And we also, and I thought Vander Plas was very good in the second half. We made a concerted effort to touch the paint ourselves, right? Like, Hunter's given us all kinds of headaches on the block. Well, guess what? Your four and your three are a little undersized, so we're going to go on and we're going to try to score over those dudes. And Ben did it. Gardner did it. You know, we got some paint touches, some post-ups, and I thought that made a world of difference.
Vander Plas ends up with 10 points, who I just think is terrific on both sides of the ball. He's not afraid to mix it up. He's not afraid to guard anybody, and offensively, he's so confident.
No question. And look, we gave up some size. With him and JG on the floor at times together, but then there was a stretch where we went our big lineup. We had JG, Ben, and Kaden on the floor together with Reese and Kihei. Right. And that lineup proved to be pretty daggone good.
Yeah, I mean, in the second half, whatever message you said completely worked, and maybe that's the message of every game. If you're going to be down 11, quick, caught up to them.
Right.
As you said, down four, and it's in the blink of an eye. Next thing you know, it was down two, and then took the lead. And they just looked, it's just a team that just looks like, guys, we're good. We know we're good.
Well, I'm telling you, and we talked about it out in Vegas when Reese was talking a little smack, right? I like that Reese, right? In the huddle, Reese is telling them, we're good. This is what we do. When I hear Reese talk, then I'm good. I can almost sit back.
I don't want to create what might seem like a little bit of controversy. That's not my intention here. But is Reese kind of becoming that vocal leader of the team?
No, I still think it's Kihei, but I think Reese was having a game and he was like, let's go. I got my foot taped up. This is what we do. Let's go. And he's becoming more vocal, but I still think that, I mean, I think that's who Kihei is for us. But no, to hear him take on that kind of leadership in the huddle, that was neat to see.
By the way, Michigan hits one three-pointer in the second half.
It made the world a difference.
Yeah. Hunter Dickinson.
Low. So that team, I recruit the DMV. They got Hunter, Terrence Williams, Doug McDaniel, and Jalen Llewellyn. Wasn't from the DMV, but went to Virginia Episcopal, played for Curtis Staples, started his career at Princeton. We looked at him as a possible transfer. So four kids on that roster, we're very familiar with. Those kids wanted a piece of us so bad. And you know, Hunter, I love the kid. Great kid, super competitive. Between the lines, he's gonna play ball and he's gonna talk trash. He's gonna hit you with elbows. It's who he is. He's been that way since he was in middle school.
Yeah.
And I respect the hell out of his game. So as a competitor, you like that, right? And you know, he's gesturing to the bench and he's talking and he's, you know, after blocking a couple key shots, he's pumping his chest. And that's what ACC Big Ten Challenge is supposed to be. And we talked before the game, we talked after. I gave him much respect. He was a load.
Hunter Dickinson may have come and likely would have come to UVA if he had been given an offer, correct? Was he?
He liked us. You know, we, at the time, I'm trying to remember, Mark, exactly who we had on our roster, but I felt like it would have been too many five men. We would have had too many bigs. And again, you know, look, we can't get them all. He's a Northern Virginia kid, played at DeMatha. He's good. He's super talented. And for whatever reason, we didn't go on him. Here's a funny story. So I'm recruiting this summer, and I see him up at one of the events in D.C. And I'm like, big fella, you slim down, your body's toned. I said, man, you look good. So you putting in work? He said, yeah, I'm ready to kick your ass, ACC Big Ten Challenge. And so I laugh and we chuckle. And then I thought about it. At the time, there's no way he knew we were matched up, right? So shortly after this incident, the matchups come out. We got Michigan. I said, that son of a gun knew all along he was going to play me, and that was his way of poking at me. So before the game, he's in layup line. I'm out there, and he's like, I told you, coach. I told you.
I don't know that he plays the pick and roll defense that great.
No, I would. I mean, not the way we like to defend it, and that would have been an issue. But you know, he's good for them. He's been good. I mean, the dude's going to be a player of the year candidate, not only in that league, but nationally. I mean, he's going to put up big time numbers. He's a load, man. All the 7-1, great touch. He's seen every double team. It doesn't even phase him anymore because he's a heck of a passer. You know, I still don't know if I agree with the last call, the cylinder call on Caden. But you know, neither here nor there. We snuck out of there with a W, so I'm excited. I'm happy.
The Big Ten ACC challenge, how much does that impact and influence toward the end of the season going into the tournament?
I'm not sure. I think maybe the committee looks at what you do and what the conference did and how you stack up against that type of competition. We always as a league want to win. Certain teams I'm not so sure I pull for, but I just want the number to be plus or on our side. Say again.
Which teams do you pull for?
You can take a wild guess.
Or which ones don't you pull for?
No, I want the league. I want at the end of this challenge, I want the ACC to be on top.
Okay.
I'm okay with a few L's just so long as not the Wahoos.
5-3 going into tonight. Duke is about to win, I think. Michigan State, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Indiana, right? North Carolina struggling the last couple of games. Well, they played a pretty good team
in the last 7-4 ACC right now.
7-4 ACC. There was a game earlier tonight. That's the 7 o'clock game. Duke beat Ohio State. Miami beat Rutgers.
Good win.
Miami hasn't been playing that great.
Miami's playing good ball. Hey, and if I'm not mistaken, Mark, this is the last year of this, right?
I don't know. I wasn't aware of that.
ACC, SEC moving forward?
I wasn't aware of that. Thank you for that information.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw that the other day. I don't know if there's been an official announcement, but I can't keep up with everything. Hell, I'm just trying to get my next scout is JMU. So
that's big news.
Coach O, get us ready for Florida State, and I got JMU. So
that's very big news. ACC 7-4. My man Spencer's right on top of it. Duke wins. Men's and women's, Spencer's reporting.
That the ACC's up?
7-4.
Yeah, I know our women got a big win. Our women are on a roll, man. They're still undefeated. They went up to Penn State. I think that's a final.
Heard it was.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Congrats to Coach Mox.
One more ACC win, and it's a big W.
There you go.
Conference. That's wonderful. All right. We've been keeping Dougie at bay for a while. He's been doing his best. He hasn't shown his face. He hasn't sent me a text. And we know how excited he is to be on. He always says, Dougie, come on in. He always says, you know what, I don't have a question, and it ends up with 35.
Well, because we answer most of them for him.
I'm not, maybe, but he always.
But there's nothing he can say or ask after yesterday. His boy went off.
He did go off.
He's in heaven right now.
You know what the most amazing part of that, outside of the amazing play of his? He played 38 minutes yesterday, and when he went out injured, Ethan, he went to the tunnel, he ran, Ethan retaped him. I mean, is Ethan not the GOAT of all GOATs?
Ethan, I was watching the game on the plane coming back. Ethan got some FaceTime. The camera all over E.
He often does. The announcers are aware of who Ethan is.
That's 2 minutes though to do all that. Reese missed 2 minutes of play. That's all Ethan Saliba.
Well, when he went out, there was a timeout.
Yep.
Funny story. So there's a timeout. We got the team in the huddle. And Tone's looking around and he's like, he goes over to E and Reese. He's like, are you ready?
What do you think he's gonna say?
I'm like, Tone, the dude, he can't walk right now. He told, is he ready? And Tone was serious about like, can you go back in right now? And Reese said, no, you gotta put Isaac in.
Isaac, you gotta do it. You weren't on the team yet. My second year, so you would have come the next year. Brian Stith legitimately broke his ankle in the ACC Big East Challenge. You were probably there in the Richmond Coliseum.
This is against Pitt.
Against Pitt. Jerome, Sean, that coach at Xavier.
That's my senior year. I sat right behind the bench.
That's right. I knew you. Of course you did. Yeah. You recruited. But do you remember how – I mean, Brian, he couldn't walk the next week, and he came back in and got like 25.
He went for 20 in the second half by himself.
See? Look at Jason remembers all this. That's amazing. Yeah, that's right. You were there. Yeah, Reese was a lot of fun, man. I like him, you know, like you said, the sneaky athleticism, the Rod Strickland uses the backboard really well, uses his body.
Fresh, I had. Guys. That was the first Virginia sweatshirt I got. It was a big gray hoodie.
Yep.
Virginia Cross, and I was sitting right behind the bench. I couldn't wait to wear my sweatshirt to the game.
The orange Virginia on the gray?
Orange Virginia across the chest. Yeah.
Jay behind us. He's probably like sneaking all the Nutri-Frims and like the Gatorades from the team and everything.
No,
like
I was just I was happy you guys.
He's sitting back there with Kendrick probably. Kendrick Warren.
I was happy you were playing in Richmond. I got a chance to see you.
Wait. Time out. First of all, just so you know, I've replaced the bell with the whistle until I get a new right? I'm going to blow the whistle on that right there. So you know what Dougie's talking about.
What?
Getting Gatorade?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was sneaking like the Nutri-Frims from our team. You know why he says that? We used to do it.
Because that's what he does when he comes to the game.
Exactly.
He's my man Shane.
Hey, but there's no more Shane. Managers.
Sugar Shane.
There's no more. All the managers. He knows them all. And he's like, dude, come here, Duke. It's Fresh. Like waiting on him.
But there's no more Sugar Shane. You ain't getting over with these guys. They ain't giving you nothing.
No, the girl's my homie.
Oh, you talking about Anna?
Anna, yeah. Anna's my girl, man. No, she's got me.
You talking
about Shane liked doing it because he thought he was being like a little bit devious and he's like looking at you guys and then running over. I'm like, come on, Shane, I'm part of the team too.
Barclays.
You know what I thought about the first half? You're talking about the threes they made, and that is what it is. I noticed, and I think I heard something. I'm not sure if you guys really had a definitive plan on how to play Hunter, whether it was old school Akil Mitchell double team or letting the guards kind of choose. Remember, Kie came down and stole it from him that time. And I thought the players found themselves more in the second half of like, listen, we can figure this shit out on our own in different ways. Am I wrong, or did you guys –
No, we
talk about it.
We had too many different options.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were less depending on who was in. Let's go on the dribble.
I see.
Let's go on the catch. No.
I see.
We decided we're just gonna be aggressive. And
that makes sense.
And it took the guesswork out, and they understood where the rotations were and how to rotate, and we were a little bit better at that.
So my favorite thing about Reese Martin is you see guys on Twitter, like national, you know, scouts or national guys that cover the NCAA. And all of a sudden, all these guys are like, Reese Beekman, best hands in the game. Reese Beekman, you know, awesome, awesome, awesome defender. Jay, I go right back at these dudes. I'm like, you know what's been going on for 3 years, right?
You said, where were you 2 years ago?
Where were you 2 years ago? You saw me. Who was that? Goodman. Sorry, you don't want to say the names on here. But I'm like, but like you didn't just discover, like, you know, the wheel or whatever. So We were on Reese early. Look behind me, by the way. I got Jamal in my background. See I'm that's not sure why. I honestly have no idea how that's even there for the record. So here's my question. It's not basketball because I'm so excited and I could talk about our team, all of it, the whole thing. World Cup, are you in?
I'm all in.
Okay, so who's your team? Can't be the United States.
Oh, I mean, that's not fair to me. I'm going with the home team.
So you're all in U.S.? Okay.
Now, I need Gio on the pitch, though. We got to get Gio out there.
Don't get me started.
So,
Jason, get me started.
I'm not one to talk. The coach knows what he's doing. He's got us to the round of 16, the knockout stage, whatever it is.
Mm-mm.
But I want to see the young Reina out there.
That would be like you saving Reese for the NCAA tournament this year. Put it that way. Jason, it's everything for me not to text Claudio during this, but I won't do it. I got to, he's too tied in to U.S. soccer.
For those that don't know, Fresh, Claudio and I are the same class.
I do, yep. So yeah, tell them about it. Everybody knows Claudio.
And Gio's dad, Gio Reyna, who's on our U.S. team, his dad is a UVA alum and was class of 95, but he left school early. If I'm not mistaken, I think Claudio left after his junior year.
Yep.
Turned pro. We all came in together, but good dude. Won 2 national championships with us, men's soccer at UVA, and his son is now on the USA team. So I've been a fan. I've been rooting for the kid, but I got to see him out there. I want to see him out. He played, which game was that?
He played the second game against
the
England.
The game before the England game.
No, he played the England game, 10 minutes. He didn't play the first game, Wales. He got no time against Wales. England.
He came in the second half against somebody for a little bit, but it was good to see him out there. But listen, I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about.
Nah, trust me, Jay, when I tell you he is nuts.
I just want us to win. I thought we played good football.
You say football or soccer now? That's the whole that's football. A new debate.
Because he needs a football team to root for.
That's true.
That's
rough.
We won Sunday. We won Monday night.
What are your chances of making the playoffs?
I mean, probably zero at this point. But we got to win Monday night. I thought we looked better. But the young man that played here, Jelani Woods, the former Virginia receiver, the big dude. Maybe
Colts,
he was a
right?
tight end. Former He's tight end here. He crushed us. He had his best. Going into the game, he had 7 catches on the year. He had 8 or 9 in that game Monday night. He was cooking us. I found myself rooting for him, but wanting us to still win. But he was good. So props to Jelani.
Yeah, so Poppy's got to be all in Argentina now, right?
He's so happy right now.
We love our Poppy.
He texts my son. So him and Cam go back and forth. Cam loves Ronaldo.
Yep, Portugal.
Portugal. Poppy can't stand him.
Of course not.
So Cam is always telling him that Ronaldo's the GOAT, and Poppy, and all Poppy does is send him Messi, like Messi, what do you call those, gifts or whatever?
Yep.
He's always sending those little pictures to him, and they go back and forth. I'm like, Poppy, you and my 13-year-old get along. That's a problem.
For sure. Isn't that funny, man? That's cool, though. I got one more, Mark. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought up soccer. That was wonderful. Do we have, you don't have a basketball question, really?
Not a real, but I mean, I heard you talking about it earlier, and I recognize that, I'm a big Isaac McNeely fan, IMAC. I think I made the nickname up, but nobody knows it. And you talk about the game. What people don't realize, and Jason laid it out before, you might play in a couple, not preseason game, but the easier games, right? And you get some time, you make some shots. But then you go and you're playing Baylor in Vegas, you're playing Illinois in Vegas, you're at Michigan, and the shit speeds up. And it might whether it's actually going fast or not. It's just the whole everything about it, you know. And it, when do you see, you know, Isaac's getting 10 to 15 minutes a game. That's a lot of time to be out there in a good way. I mean, when do you see guys? Is it January you think it can slow down? Is it February? Is it, you know, at some point you're not a freshman? You're not a first year.
It's different for different guys, but I think once we get into ACC play,
yeah,
he'll have a better feel for it. It'll start to slow down. He'll know kind of what to expect. He'll understand, you know, rotations and flow and pace a game more. Right now, he's just trying to tread water. He's trying to keep his head above water at this point.
But he, you know, I what I see too, man, and I remember myself, he's playing with really good players, experienced players, right? Now, you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't feel like he or Ryan are they're lost on the court, like not in the right place. But I think they're deferring and they're trying to play correctly. Does that make sense?
Right. I think for them, and you remember, I'm going to go on my experience. I just remember the first time I got significant minutes, I just don't want to mess up.
That's right.
And so you're playing, you're thinking more and you're not playing on instinct and you're just take care of the ball, don't make a mistake. You're playing cautious.
Right.
Well, we need one of them, both of them, hopefully, not to play cautious and get and be assertive when it's your turn. But that comes with time, man. I'm telling you, just you got to do it. Quite honestly, I really didn't feel comfortable fully until that following year after playing myself. Like I didn't play at all my freshman year.
You started my sophomore,
but still it was like, just don't make a mistake. Here, give it to June, give it to Corey.
No, exactly.
Don't turn it over, play good defense, you know, those things. I think that's what they're trying to do.
It's one of those things you can't solve, right? You can't teach it to. You can't be like, Isaac, when you catch it the first time, jack a three. Ryan, go to the rim and just boom on somebody. No, you got to go through it.
Got to go through it. You got to live it. You got to live it. But at the same time, you still got to play. And you want that learning curve to be expedited a little bit, right?
Sure.
So it's just minutes. You got to be out there. You got to go through it. You got to get the experience.
Right. Can we talk about Houston yet? Or is it too early? I'm just kidding.
We're gonna get into that a little bit. We know he's not gonna say much about it, but we're gonna definitely talk.
I don't want to talk about it. We got FSU on Saturday.
We know,
and we gotta beat JMU now too, because you know what happened last year. Damn,
we're gonna talk a little bit about Houston because
that's too far down the road.
That could be a 1-2 matchup.
You know what? I'm gonna ask one question, and I saw it from fans in the forum. You have a couple of red shirts that people love. You know, Leon seems like he's a total wahoo. Isaac Trout, people love. They're red shirting. What is the difference in their training to develop? I know they're probably more scout team. They're not on the first teams, blah, blah, blah. Are they spending more weight room time? More, you know, I think you guys went to the arena the other day. There was already a group in the arena. Then you saw Kia and the team coming after. So can you break that down for people that love this stuff like me?
That's exactly what it is for us. It's all the above. They're lifting. They lift more, lift a little heavier if need be.
Right.
They get extra workouts in. You know, on game day, we try to get a workout before shoot around or after shoot around. Just because, you know, that's their game that day.
That's their game.
And just develop. Try to develop them and get them ready for next season. But they're working, man. I love our group of guys, man. They're working their tails off.
And you got to keep them part of the team, right? Sometimes a red shirt can feel, having big red shirted. And they were, you know, but like, you got to keep them a part of the team.
No, nothing changes from that regard. I mean, they do it. They become now, you know, they're running the FSU plays and they're doing FSU defense and getting us ready, but that's just getting them to play and keeping him engaged.
All right, I'm gonna go back to Reese. I'm kidding.
No, because we only have 10 minutes left and we still have to cover two segments.
Yeah, you guys go.
Spencer Henske, our producer, son of the soccer great Tom Henske, UVA soccer great Tom Henske, won national championship.
Henske may have more than one.
Henske's got four.
Four national championships. I should know that.
He can't open doors.
Spencer just said three.
He can't spin them.
Yeah, I was gonna say fresh four. That's impressive. I knew he had two or three.
It was those three, huh?
Yep. Which is
I always introduce him as he has four, so you know.
And they won the year after he left. So he helped train and guide the team even after and had great influence on
them. He laid the foundation.
We can say four.
And definitely takes credit. As he should.
Absolutely. Anyway, Spencer reached out and asked for people to send in questions for the audience. So we've got some really, really good questions. Unfortunately, we're only probably going to be able to get to three or four, right? But there is one, Dougie, that you'll appreciate.
Yep.
We're going to ask it after we talk about who's being number three and maybe a little bit about Houston. We'll see what Coach has to say. So everybody's please stay tuned for that. So Doug, I'm sorry, I've got to say goodbye to you.
We got about
9 minutes left. Always, right, always great questions.
Keep Doug. Doing it. Keep doing it. Loving it. All right. Jay.
Bye, you. Fresh. Saturday, see you. Anyway.
Later.
Florida State game. All right. Coach, number three in the country. Now, I know what you're going to say when I ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and maybe you'll surprise me. Did you have any type of feelings or thoughts that you guys could be this good early on?
No.
Oh,
you are. But I wasn't sure. I really didn't know what we had. Like, I knew we had experience. I knew we had we had the same starting five coming back, right? I knew we had a chance to be good. But preseason is still early. All of that stuff can change. But I kudos to them. They worked their tails off. There's a ton of chemistry. I think the Italy trip was valuable in that regard. Like, it got us together. They bonded. The guys, I see it. They play unselfish. One, it could be any of them on any night that leads us. And they just take turns. JG got it going. They're giving him the ball. Armand had it going in Vegas. He got the ball. Like, it just, Reese had it going last night. We just got a lot of balance. So did I see it? No. Did I think we had a chance to be pretty good? Yeah. If they all were better than last year and Ben and some of the freshmen step up, yeah, I thought we had a chance.
Yeah, and this year is so different because it's not like you have to depend or rely on someone being really good at something to win, right? Like Armand, you don't need to rely on him to shoot really well to win a game on the road against a good opponent in their house, right?
Yeah, but
great yesterday.
But it sure helps when that ball can go in.
It does, but other people made the ball go in last night too.
No question, no question.
And if he shoots better, okay, maybe win by 10 or 15. But down the stretch, the moxie of this team and the confidence. Like, I was like, oh, UVA's going to win this game.
Well, I'm glad you were confident. They had me nervous as all outdoors.
Oh, no, if I were coaching, I would have been. No, I wouldn't have been that confident. I would have been extremely nervous.
So it's easy for you to say sitting there, but on the sideline, I mean, I would have made coffee nervous yesterday. That's how nervous I was. I'm like, what are we doing? We can't stop anybody.
Right, but late in the game, I'm talking about late and then in the halftime. We were playing badly.
We gutted it out, but I mean, and it's going to be like that. I give them a ton of props. There are going to be games where you got to find a way, and we found a way. We found a way.
JMU, Florida State coming up.
Florida State, JMU.
Well, I wasn't necessarily saying the order. I was just mentioning the teams, but thank you. Florida State not playing great, has some injuries. but you can't sleep on anybody. We know that.
No, you can't. And they've been a thorn in our sides with the way they defend and all of the length, and they're hard to prepare for because you can't. There's no green machine that can duplicate that type of size and athleticism. I'm trying to look now. You talking about them? They were playing Purdue pretty close.
Lost by 10, I think.
Oh, it was. Is it final?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Purdue's tough. So, yeah. You know what? I was going to raise the question about December 17.
What is that? What day is that? That's after exam break. I know I got to go recruiting the week before.
Okay. So you may not be, but you'll be in town on December 17th, right?
Of course. We got a game that day, but you're not going to get me talk about that game.
No, all right, fine. I'm not going to get you to talk about it. We'll wait till the next Jay Willie show.
We got FSU game Saturday, mm-hmm. And that's the next one. And they beat us here last year on that crazy buzzer beater.
I remember that.
Flying
back from, we had a live show that day.
Did we?
With Kihei's Pops, with Malik, right? At Rhines and Rogers.
Was that that day?
That was that day. Okay. And I'm flying back. I'm like, oh, no biggie. We're going to win this game. And I land just to see the buzzer beater.
Yeah. So I mean, look, I don't know how they played. I only, to be honest, I've caught one game. I saw them play Nebraska the other night. And, you know, they're still defending hard. They can get out in transition. We're going to have to stop them from doing that. We're going to have to keep them off the offensive glass. But we're going to have to figure out how we score against all that switching. Now, luckily, there have been some teams early in the preseason that have done that. Illinois did a lot of switching. Baylor did some switching. So, you know, I think we'll be prepared, but you got to go do it.
You know, and that's, I think, also the benefit of having guys returning and knowing each other and how to just rotate and how to move and how to adjust on their own, right? Having guys that have been in the system for at least a year.
Right. Having gone against that, right? You see all the different styles in the league. You kind of know what to expect. That makes the world of difference.
Yep. I watch my high school team, and we're not that good, but I've got four guys that really understand basketball. Right. The IQ of it and able to rotate and adjust, and it's so rewarding as a coach.
Right.
So it's fun. All right. So I'm not going to talk about December 17th. We're going to stick to Florida State Saturday.
Yep.
JMU Tuesday. All right. And then next week, hopefully we get those two wins. And then we talk about preparing for the next game. But let's get Florida State on Saturday. We owe them, and maybe we owe JMU too.
Well, let's get one at a time.
Okay. I'm all for that. So this week, Spencer Hinsky sent out on, I believe, Instagram, Twitter, and other social media platforms, asking people to send in questions. We got a ton of questions.
All right. I'm ready.
Which was fantastic. So we appreciated all audience members. Unfortunately, we're only going to be able to get to, let's try for three, maybe four. And one we're certainly saving for pre-Louisville. Right? it's kind of a wild question. Right? And picking some of these, here's one from AQ on the forum. How did the coaching staff decide to change their side ball screen coverage to keep the ball on the sideline? What the broadcast last night called push coverage.
Yeah, we're tinkering with a little bit of everything. We've done that. We were blitzing and still doing what we do with the hard edge with our five. I keep telling you we're a work in progress, and I'm not sure what is best at this point. But we're going to keep working, and hopefully we'll have an answer as we get further in the year. But we've done a little bit of everything. This team, with the experience that we have, allows us to do some different stuff, both offensively and defensively, to be honest.
I am amazed at how right the fan base is for UVA. Amazed. Some of the questions they're coming up with. Thank you, AQ, for that question. Now, AQ had a couple other good ones, and Wahoo Architect on the forum had some good ones, but the one I'm going to go with from Wahoo Architect is, who asks better questions, that coach's guy, coach's corner guy, or Fresh?
John does a good job with the coach's corner, and I don't always go on there, so I've been a pinch hitter the last 2 weeks, but John does good. But I'm going with my boy, the Fresh question of the week. Fresh is the better question asker.
Okay, I like it. We're gonna Who and Shu also had a couple of good questions. We're gonna save one of his for pre-Duke because that's applicable to that game. All right, Dan Epstein on Twitter. We played some great competition this year. What players on other teams have stood out, and how do we measure up?
Wow. So Hunter Dickinson and Jet Howard were phenomenal yesterday. Two really good players. I mean, I like our guys against a lot of these dudes. You know, the Shannon kid from Illinois was tough. Keontae George at Baylor was tough. Unfortunately, of those four guys I named, Reese has had to guard three out of the four. So Reese gets the short end of the stick on having to guard all these good guys, but he's done a phenomenal job thus far. But those dudes have been pretty talented, man. We stack up right there with them, I think. I think our kids, they don't necessarily get the individual accolades, but they collectively, we do a damn good job.
All right, we're going to go with two more. Shane Lachlan on Instagram, how is the current team different than the 2019 championship team?
Oh, my God. I don't even like comparing teams. Ask me that at the end of this season.
Fair enough. I get that. I understand that. All right. And the last question. This one is about Jay Willie. From Schmitty, 1234 on Instagram. What is Jay Willie's go-to pre-meal and post-meal?
Is that Fresh that snuck a question in on Instagram? Schmitty, 1234. Come on, Fresh. You got to have a better handle than that. my go-to pregame is, if it's a early game, is omelet, bacon, and an English muffin.
Wait, say that again?
An omelet, side of bacon, and an English muffin. If it's an early start. So we eat breakfast for pregame.
How many hours before the game do you eat?
3.5. And then post game, I normally won't eat pregame if it's a late game. I'll just get some, like a lunch, and then I eat whatever the post game meal is on the bus going back home. But post game is anything that can be lukewarm because it sits on the bus after the game. So pizza, maybe a chicken sandwich. It just depends on where we are. But it's got to be something that you can't do, like a burger or something that you want. Some places we get some like fish and chips. I see that on the menu, but that ain't good cold or lukewarm. I shouldn't say cold, but lukewarm. But pizza you can do lukewarm. And I like pepperoni, sausage, black olives. That's my go-to.
Maybe a little New Year's resolution.
Did I answer the question? I'm not getting a salad. I'm not getting none of that.
Have a couple of Sundays to go with that too.
No, I don't get anything sweet. I get pizza or chicken sandwich.
Listen, I would be probably, I'm sure I'd be the same way, especially after a game and you're excited because you probably won because your track record speaks for itself. And what are you going to get late at night after a game?
Exactly. Well, last night it was what, midnight? Past midnight? We was like one something when we find almost two when we took off.
And how you doing on the soda?
So believe it or not, Mark, I've had maybe one or two sodas since we went to Italy.
Congratulations.
That was August. I've been nothing but water, Gatorade, and an occasional orange juice in the morning.
I'm proud of you.
How about that? Now, I still eat pizza and burgers and fries, but I'm off the soda.
Okay, so that's a good start.
It's a start.
Very good start. And how's the workout plan going?
All
right. We'll
December 1 is, when's that? Tomorrow? When's December 1st?
Tomorrow.
All right, I'm back on it December 1.
All right, so next week we're going to see you with a little bit of a slimmer face.
I don't know how quick I can get the face down, but I'm gonna start getting sweats in starting tomorrow.
All right, you guys all heard it here. Jay Willie on his back on his game. Next thing you know, you'll be playing up and down with the kids again.
No way, I'm done. Officially retired.
All right, coach. It's always a pleasure.
Appreciate you.
Another great job by Jay Willie. Fans, thanks so much for listening. Once again, we are sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Jay Wills, we will see you next week, Wednesday, hopefully, after Florida State, after two wins, beating Florida State and JMU.
I'll see you Wednesday, but then I can't promise the following week because I know I got to get out and recruit during exam.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate you, bro.
Great job this week. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Thanks, man.